All guests, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Today we are meeting PDO, Parliamentary Budget Office. They are going to make their input on the 2019 Special Appropriation Bill. But before we do that, it's my way of welcoming you, so you are welcome. Do we have any apologies?
Good morning, Chairperson, honourable members, PBO guests. Two apologies from Messrs. Sheikh Imam and Kwankwa. They are attending other committee meetings, portfolio committees. And then Ms. Ntlangwini is going to join the meeting a little bit later. That's it, Chair. Thanks.
And honourable Paiso, it's off sick. Thank you. Thank you so much. PBO, welcome. The 2019 Special Appropriation Bill. Let's listen to you. There is a table which has been distributed, and courtesy of our brand new content advisor. The professor kept on referring to that table yesterday, so just for more information, have that one. Let's see a PBO. So they say. Dawatel was leading us. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson, and morning members. I will start the presentation this morning, and then my colleague, Dr. Dumisani Janges, will continue, but I will do the first few slides.
Before we proceed, until we tell you that now we've heard enough of your introduction, we always wanted to please introduce your team so that you should know who's there. And honourable members, as they introduce them, please write their names down. And the same thing happens with you. When honourable members talk, take their names down so that we can start knowing each other, if not so. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Nila Orlandi. I'm the Deputy Director for Policy Analysis in the PBO, and my colleagues can introduce themselves quickly.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honourable members. Good morning, colleagues. My name is Dumisani Janges, Deputy Director. Thanks.
Good morning, honourable Chairperson and members. My name is Gloria Mgoni. I am the Finance Analyst in the PBO.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Siraj Mohammed. I'm the Deputy Director of Economics in the PBO.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Fatani Banda, and I'm an Economic Analyst.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm Mapula Skatani. I'm the Policy Analyst.
Morning, honourable members. I'm Sipetelo Melane, Finance Analyst. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Although sometimes you guys even twang your names, and but as far as keep on trying to remember you. Okay, let's proceed.
Thank you, Chair. So just as an introduction to our presentation, from the bill, we can see that the reasons for Eskom's position and the situation that they are in. Yeah, we're still waiting for the IT person to switch on the... Yeah, he's coming. So we will continue on the hard copy. The situation for Eskom is because of poor interest coverage of its revenue, declining sales volumes for year-to-date, and cost of primary energy, high debt service costs, high employee costs, constitutional cost escalations of the new build program, due to persistent delays. And the situation has resulted in Eskom having to borrow increasingly and high amounts to serve its debt obligations, placing the entity in an unsustainable position. This is in terms of the bill that has been tabled in Parliament. So the bill that has been tabled in June proposed financial support for 2019 and 2020 and addresses the going concern status and enables ESCOM to honour its obligations. The Special Appropriation Bill requests approval for additional financial support for ESCOM, and in terms of the bill, it is additional to the 23 billion that's per year that has already been provided for in the budget documents. So for 2019-20, we've appropriated a portion of the 23 billion already in the Amendments Appropriations Bill, and they are requesting now approval for the additional 26 billion for 2019-20. But in addition to the 23 billion that has been provided for in the budget, they also asking for approval for a 33 billion in the 2020-21 financial year. Perhaps it is legal to do this, but in the last few years, I haven't seen an appropriation for a following year. The appropriation bill normally just appropriate funds for the current financial year. So this is something that we also need to question or ask the legality of, and how it will work and how it will be presented in the coming budget. So with this table, we're just trying to show you the financial position and what has already been provided over time to ESCOM. So in terms of we've allocated money, in terms of capitalized loans before 2010 already, and then it was provided over the medium term, we provided for the 3 years 23 billion per year. And in terms of the amendments appropriation, we already appropriated 17.7 billion after 23, so there's still another 5 billion left, which we will see whether they're going to appropriate that additional or the remaining funds from the 23 in the adjusted budget. And then there was a special appropriation, and this is this appropriation, which is allocated to financial assets and liabilities for the current financial year. And over the special appropriation now is for the 26 and the 33. But previously, we also had a special appropriation in 2015-16 that also amounted to 23 billion. Government has guaranteed 350 billion for ESCOM, and ESCOM has taken up as of 2019-20 306.8 billion of that guarantee. So the next slide is basically trying to show members an overview of the Department of Public Enterprises. So you will see public enterprises consist of three programs. The first program is administration, which takes up the biggest proportion of public enterprises. Then the main cost drivers of the Department of Public Enterprises are COE, which consists of 63% of the total budget. But in calculating this, I excluded the financial transactions in assets and liabilities, because that will skew the numbers totally if you also include those amounts. The other cost drivers are consulting fees. They do use consultants to assist them in the oversight role. And the other main driver is travel and subsistence, is spending on travel and subsistence. But why I'm trying to show you this picture of public enterprises, you will see public enterprises allocate the funds from payments of assets and liabilities. But assets, the definition of an asset and liability is basically if you make a payment for services on behalf of another department. So public works will use that item to pay to indicate their payments or expenditure when they pay for services on behalf of another department. But the implication for this committee is that it's not divided into whether on the systems when we do the accounting, it's not divided into different sectors. But if they allocate these funds technically and on the financial system to transfers and subsistence, you will immediately see where this money went. Because when I did the analysis to come and present to you, I actually had to go to several documents to find out for what the 6.2 billion was paid for. That was last year for SAA and SA Express. So in future, if anybody wants to go back onto the database and try and find transfers that went to Eskom in specific, it will be very difficult to find the 43.6 billion and the 33 billion because it's not specifically on the database for that purpose. You will just see it under payments for financial assets and reliabilities. That's the only reason why I'm showing this slide. So the committee, we need to make sure that we also appropriate or spend this money from the correct financial item under the economic classification. Otherwise, it will be very difficult to do monitoring over the longer period. So in terms of the responsibilities of the Department of Public Enterprises, what I'm trying to show you with this slide also is in terms of their responsibilities. In terms of the Special Appropriations Bill, the Department of Public Enterprises must transfer to ESCOM amounts in each financial year in the proportions and on such a date as the Minister of Finance determines, taking into account the financial position of ESCOM. So what also makes the accountability or the monitoring difficult is the National Treasury will determine the conditions, but they will transfer the money to public enterprises. Enterprises will take the responsibility of the transfer to ESCOM, but they don't determine the conditions. But the Department of Public Enterprises are responsible in terms of their legal mandate to also to oversee the spending of the money that they're going to transfer to ESCOM. So just in terms of, if you can see, and we were also yesterday we were talking about how do we determine the conditions, or if this committee wanted to make recommendations in terms of the conditions for these transfers. You will see some of the 17.7 billion in terms of the amended appropriation bill has been transferred from program to state-owned companies, governance assurance and performance. So what that means, this money will be transferred and the program and the program manager responsible for this transfer and needs to monitor the spending of the money. His mandate is governance, legal assurance, and financial and non-financial performance monitoring, evaluation, and reporting systems in support of the shareholders to ensure alignment of government priorities. But the new amendment or the new appropriation of 26 billion will be transferred from Program 3. Business Enhancement, Transformation and Industrialization, which got a different purpose. So it will be a different program manager that will place conditions on ESCOM for the expenditure and a different mandate in terms of that program to monitor. So Program 3, the mandate of Program 3 is basically for ESCOM is to contribute to advancement of industrialization, transformation, intergovernmental relations, and international collaboration services, support to the shareholder in strategically positioning and enhancing the operation of state-owned companies. So it's different purposes and different amounts that have been transferred from these two. What I'm also trying to show you this is it will also make this, the job or the oversight role of this committee difficult, because who's going to report on what and who's going to monitor what in terms of the legal mandate where the money has been transferred from. But it also has got implications for ESCOM, because ESCOM is getting conditions from the National Treasury to adhere to. They will probably get conditions from the Department of Public Enterprises because of their mandate from the different programs and the different program managers where the money has come from. And the ESCOM also gets money from the Department of Energy, for example, for another. So energy will also require from them to adhere to certain conditions. So it's a very complex reporting and transferring system, and it's actually very confusing. And who will come and report back to this committee? Is it the department? Is it National Treasury on their conditions? The Department of Public Enterprises will come with their conditions, which they placed on ESCOM, and then also Department of Energy will come back and report back on certain numbers that or amounts funds that they've transferred to ESCOM. So it makes it very difficult to do oversight over ESCOM and make sure that we get value for money and spend the money where it was planned for what it was planned for. This is the personnel structure of the Department of Public Enterprises. I'm showing you this also for the committee to, because we want to make sure that the Department of Public Enterprises, which transfer all this money to ESCOM, to have the capacity to do oversight over ESCOM. So you will see, in terms of the biggest proportion of the personnel is paid or on level 7 to 10, it's almost 35% of the personnel on those levels, but those levels are mostly in Program 1 administration. The other biggest proportion is the management level. It's on level 13 to 16, which is on 32%. So just in terms of looking at their personnel numbers and the estimates that they will have almost the full they will have full capacity of 232 personnel members at the end of this financial year, we can basically conclude that they do have the capacity in terms of personnel numbers to do oversight over ESCOM. And also the personnel levels, salary levels are very high in programs 2 and 3, which have got the responsibility to do oversight over ESCOM. So my colleague, there's still another slide, the conditions for transfer. We were also talking about the conditions, but the conditions in the current bill that has been tabled, it's not very clear. The only conditions that they presented in the bill that has been tabled is that the Minister of Finance may impose conditions to be met by ESCOM before any part of the amount is transferred. It must impose conditions to be met by ESCOM after the transfer of any part of the amount, and it must stop the use of any part of the amount in respect of which conditions have been imposed in terms of subparagraph 2 until such conditions are made. So these conditions are not real conditions, it's just the bill is just making provision that they can impose conditions on ESCOM. And the National Treasury must also come disclose the stoppage of an allocation in its next quarterly report to the Committee of Finance of the National Assembly and the NCOP. Any part of the amount not transferred to ESCOM by the end of the financial year must be paid back to the revenue fund. These are the only conditions in the bill. My colleague will continue with more on the information on ESCOM itself.
Thank you so much, Celia. So we would also want to share some of the analysis on the ESCOM financial position and performance, which, I mean, where we are now, we're discussing the bailouts because of the ESCOM's financial position and financial performance. So we thought we should just share with the committee as at the end of 31st March 2019. I think we want to highlight some of the few things there, which at an extent of some of the challenges from the financial analysis point of view. The first thing we put out there is the financial position shows the debt levels over the past 3 years, and also the assets of the ESCOM group as it is audited by the auditors there. And I think what we want to highlight is, you know, the biggest issue we see, the debt has increased quite rapidly, that security and borrowings over the years, and we've seen even between 2018 and 2019 the figure becoming quite higher, which shows the extent to which ESCOM needs support in terms of getting the operations going. But I think also, Chair, what we've also seen there is the decline in reserves, you know, over the years. You see that we're sitting there. But I mean, the good thing about that picture is the assets. You realize also the assets, the new plant that came into life, and it has increased the assets value of the entity to 651 billion, which is something quite positive over the years. Next slide. I think what we've done is just quickly move around the slides. I think the slide is later coming and later, but I think we just wanted to bring it in because that's where we discussed it. I think this slide share just show the trend on how the debt has increased over the past 5 years. And this debt excludes your employee obligations, benefits, and so on. But I think what we want to highlight and also indicate there is the short-term part of it. The short-term, the current assets, you know, has also increased quite dramatically, which in a way it puts more pressure on the current operations, because it means when you have current assets, current liabilities increasing in that rate, it shows that actually there's more pressure for cash flow for the entities to realize those obligations on a shorter term. But of course, both the long-term and short-term. But I think one thing I wanted to highlight is the current portion, which shows the short-term portion, has also been valuing over the years there. Coming back to also the operations, we have seen a decline, a 31% decline in ESCOM's profitability from operations. I mean, profits from operations. That's excluding your interest and depreciation and tax, just from operation, which I think one of the things that we discussed, in the office and colleagues is looking at zooming down into the operation of ESCOM. It's quite critical because that's where you are able to say what are the key issues that need to be addressed over a long time or short term, whatever. But as an entity, what are the challenges in the operations there? But we realize that actually the operations have declined, profits have declined over between the 2 years by 31%. But looking at the revenue, looking at the revenue side, you realize there's been a trend of decline in revenue volumes, you know, over the years, and 2019 has seen quite higher decline in revenue in ESCOM electricity values, not volumes, not the revenue values, but the volumes. There's less electricity being sold, in a sense, and that can also explain the decline in profitability of the entities, and that has also pushed declines in generation of sources of ESCOM. But also when you look at the financial reports and audit statements, there's consistent concerns from the group which ESCOM, cry foul that the tariffs that have been increased over time have not been reflective of some of the costs that the entity incur in realizing, in making those that electricity available thereof. and which brings about another question which I think we'll come into it later. But also, as I said, the decline has been the electricity volume, but the sales, obviously, the sales volume has increased by 3%. But at the same time, there's also increase in uncollectability of the revenue value that you sell so much electricity, you recognize the revenue, but so much part of it, it's under-collected, and it's uncollectable over time. And then we've also seen that also increasing over time. And one of the, we thought to also highlight some of the risks that were identified during the audit, which are in the report. And one of the issues that they raised there, it consistently hasn't been a clear strategy by ESCOM to collect revenue as it comes to, I mean, that's a very, very statement put out there in the financial report. But there's also been the issues around some of the debtors, which the main debtors of ESCOM, your municipalities. I mean, this has been spoken about over the past few weeks in public domain. But even the AGSA last month, when he released his NFMA results for 2019, he did raise that municipalities' financial situation are weighing on ESCOM's financial situation. Hence, we've seen increase in municipal debtors. But it's largely consistent with last year's data, sitting at 40% and 39% of the total data zero. And also there are areas where, you know, some of the customers are not able to pay, have not been paying back or paying the debt, or ESCOM has not been able to collect. I know Soweto has been a very big issue. It's separately disclosed in the financial reports to show that there's quite a chunk of amount of it. But it seems some of these debts have been long time, the debts have accumulated over the long period of time. One of the things that we added in the slide, which is not reflected on the honourable member's presentation, is the last bullet, which you've seen that over and above the challenges around sales, there has been losses as well of electricity of, I think, almost 2 billion, where through tempering of the systems or whether, you know, the meter readings and so on, there has been losses over time, which is 25% increase from last year. I think last year it was 1.3 billion, this year is 1.8 billion there. So there is that challenge as well. Coming to the expenditure side, we've seen overall production from ESCOM generation source declined in the current year, in the year that just ended. You know, because I mean, we've seen there has been decline in the sales volume and production also has been affected. But of course, there's been discussion around IPPs as well. We've seen an increase in IPPs, you know, generation source. You know, it's when it's realized the ESCOM sources have declined, but the IPPs have increased over time. But of course, we've also seen the increase in the contribution by IPPs in the ESCOM's entire generation that is produced. But I think the cost has been a bit of a bigger issue when you realize that, that's my question, okay. When you realize that the, you know, it contributes 5%, but it takes quite a chunk of expenditure or part of it, you know, in this regard. But I mean, also, as we see, the in a way, what the three slides that is this kind of emphasizing, we've seen quite a big increase in production of energy, whereas there hasn't been big increase in revenue side of it. And that, I think that slide tried to emphasize that. Seen own generation increased by 15% compared to 5% last year, and IPPC generation, IPPs, independent power production increased by 9% compared to the increase in the prior year. There's also been some lot of costs, like your unplanned maintenance, which also compile costs or expenses for the production thereof. But also employee benefits as one cost aspect has increased over the year, between the 2 years, 13%, which the bulk of it is related to the large pension benefits increased by 1.1 billion. and salary increases thereof. An additional note as well from the auditors, which we want to highlight as part of the governance issues that the committee will also need to look into as they put conditions. There's challenges around dealing with irregular expenditures and fruitless expenditures and the entity, but also there's concerns around contracts and procurement management which are not compliant with the required regulatory frameworks thereof. The other part of the big issue, finance costs or the interest charges, has also increased quite a bit compared to the prior year, 2018, by 16%. And as we've seen, the debt graphs show that the debt has been increasing quite a lot. Automatically, it would mean the interest will also increase, over as a result of more debt also increase. I think what we're trying to highlight there is committee should worry about is the group's ability to meet the commitments. You know, it has been decreasing over the years. You know, Eskom is on it, and I am unable to meet the finance costs related to the debt, and it has been increasing over time. And I think that's what both ratios are trying to show, that over time the profitability of Eskom is declining in a way that, you know, you start worrying in terms of whether they are able to meet that without any proper or structural support in this regard. And also on the expenditure, and depreciation has increased. When you look at the first slide on financial position, why am I changing my voice? Or is it just me? Okay, I'm not going to worry about it. My voice keeps on ascending and descending, you know. We've seen depreciation as well, you know, it's increased. Because we've seen that the asset has increased. Automatically, your depreciation will also increase because it's an annual thing. But there's also been acceleration of depreciation on some plants. And you know, that you expect that to even get even worse over the years, because we expect more plants to come in as some of the commentators argue that it will actually become worse off there. Next slide. This table, Chair, honourable members, we're trying to show that actually the cost of that, or the finance charge, as I was saying in the previous slide, has increased quite drastically. And in this slide, we're showing that actually more than 90% of the cash, cash earnings, has been used to pay for the finance charge for the past year, and quite a big chunk amount. And we've seen that the finance charge has grown threefold over the past 5 years. And I mean, that calls concerns in that regard. Next slide. And as I said earlier, the earnings before, the operation earnings have declined. What is quite interesting is it has been sort of fluctuating, because in 2017, yes, I think that's supposed to be 2017 and 2019 there. In 2017, it was 31 billion, and 2018 went up to 45, and it went back down to 30-something. So it's been quite fluctuating over the years. But I think the ability, which is the margin thereof, is also quickly dwindling, the ability for the income generated to sustain the debt. I mean, this emphasis we're trying to make has also been declining quite over the years thereof. And I think what also, Chair, what comes from the financial report is that the entity is currently struggling to raise money from the market, which, as we have some of, due to other challenges that they have, as reported in the financial and other reports. Hence, the government is thinking on how it can support the entity. And also, one of the points that I think was raised by the auditors for the past 3 years is, we know about it, the issue of ongoing concern. But I think what we put there is, you know, just to show that, you know, the worse off it comes, the worse off the going concern comes, a bit of problem. I mean, you realize that the current liability ratio has deteriorated quite further, with the difference between the current liabilities and assets is 40 billion from 21 billion. So there is that quite need to get a handle of such issue and such situation. But also, what we've seen and then what we were discussing yesterday with Gloria is the turnaround strategy of the group plays lines, you know, take government support as a fundamental play. But fundamental, it looks at government support to ESCOM is seen as a very key role in the survival of entity or getting entity into better operation. Which, of course, because it's a state-owned entity, it's a bit of a worrying issue. You know, there's got to be a point, a long-term issue, where you're thinking there must be a point where the group sees itself being sustainable on its operation or so on, or at least dealing with some of the match issues that leads to lack of operation, you know, without having to rely on the state support. And this slide, Chair, what we're doing with this slide, we're trying to show the extent to which the when you look at the financials or the financial reports of the entity, has its ability to repay its debt, has it improved or has it decreased over time? That's what the slide says. So the higher the ratio, the worse off it is, the lower the ratio, the better it has been. But now you see from 2015, the group's ability to, the ESCOM's ability to meet its debt repayment has been improving, 2015, 2016, getting better. But I think from last year, it quite high, going back to around 14, which, 2018 was around 8, 9, and that became worse off from last year. It shows that there has been a very big increase in a deterioration in the earnings of the group, and which will put more pressure. And I, as we were talking yesterday, it seems like the highest rate of the ratio over the past 30 years, where it is as the past year. Yes, Nadia just reminded me that in 2015 there got a big injection which boosted the financial situation thereof. Thank you. That's in a sense what we're saying, Chair. The funds for financial obligations are appropriated in addition to the funds provided in the budget to the structure of the ESCOM. The funds already appropriated in the 2020 budget. A responsibility, as Nadia was emphasizing, the responsibility of three various stakeholders in oversight needs to be looked into or taken, strengthened, and clearly the big issue here. When I was thinking this morning coming here, the message I think we're trying to cite with the financial information is, there are a lot of efforts that we place on the ESCOM's operations. ESCOM's operation, how is ESCOM able to finance its costs, above all some of the discussion that will take place. I think that's the message that I want to emphasize. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Doc. Honourable members, the usual story from this perspective of PBO, and you know how we do it. We go straight to the point of question so that you can have more questions for them. Let's see, Honorable Sarupen, Joseph, Komani, Honorable Clara, Zembo, Peters. I know Honorable Oscar. Will come, so in that order.
Thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, my first question is going to be around what this actually means for the fiscus, which was, we got something from the MFC yesterday, but the PBO. In terms of our budget deficit, in terms of, borrowings, debt to GDP ratio, what does this additional support over and above the $23 billion that's going to be allocated the next 10 years actually mean? And is it actually desirable that we're in this situation? And Chair was quite disappointed when National Treasury came and we asked the DG where the money's going to come from for this. And he didn't give us a clear answer. He said, well, we're going to act responsibly. What does that mean? There wasn't any clear indication. And wonder if the PBO and their interactions have got any indication as to where this money is going to come from in terms of the fiscus. Are they going to? That's the first thing. The second thing, Chair, is, and I think it was probably one of the most important points we've heard in these presentations, is that the reporting line for SOEs are very convoluted, which probably allows them to get away with things and hide things from proper accountability to cold light of day. And so I'd like the PBO, if they have some spare time, and I know you guys are incredibly busy, but if you could just prepare a single slide that shows what the various reporting lines are. Because, Chair, I think it would be Parliament's responsibility, if necessary, to then begin to amend the necessary legislation to clear up the reporting line so that there isn't this convoluted situation. Because it's worth asking Treasury about their conditions, and their conditions are weak, don't get me wrong. But, you know, maybe public enterprises have conditions that meet our concern. Maybe Department of Energy does, we don't know, because there's such a convoluted reporting structure, but we don't know who to ask. So if they could do that work for us, I think it would be quite useful. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I just would like to just get clarity on a few points. I heard somewhere through the presentation, is it possible to appropriate money in advance, you know, the financial year in advance, which was alluded to yesterday and here as well. So that's the question I think we must get clarity on. My question now, after listening to yesterday and today, is how will ESCOM respond to our conditions that we're still working on? Is it an instruction or is it a request that we will make to them? Do they have a choice to say yes, they want to, or it's not possible, or the impact on the services, because we all agree ESCOM is critical, it must go on. It will be too severe. And therefore the impact will be severe on the country. And maybe they have even other options. They may even, because ESCOM knows itself, I think, by now, what should be done. Better than us, I think. Are we not, and if they come here, maybe we should ask them what, from their side, just looking at setting conditions, what are they able to bring to the table to do the turnaround strategy from their own part, which they're the experts in itself. The other question, maybe to the committee chair, we agree that ESCOM and Enterprise must come. But what about our own members in the other committees? Because we talk about a joint committee, I think somewhere we spoke about. The strategic committee must have all the role plays. We should consider even inviting our own, the other members, because if the technical part that was presented, I'm trying to say the technical part that was presented here point to a role that committee must play. This committee will not be able to really go too far deep into the technical side, which the department and that oversight committee understand themselves. By now, I'm sure those who have been there are sort of experts in the technical detail that presented. But we have an interest in it, but we think that committee is. And I think that was almost like the DG said, does the DG of Treasury has authority over other DGs? Does our committee, what authority has our committee to work with other committees, to pull them in and say, but we need your cooperation, we need your assistance to help us find a common ground and solution. So just a comment to our committee. And then the last point I want to raise is, precisely the link to the earlier point, it was in the presentation, relating to the impact of the reduced generation performance. I think that was the second last slide. I just want clarity on that. It was on not the second, just before the about the third slide, the fourth last. The impact of reduced generation performance, for me it's like after all what we are doing, there's no guarantee, I'm just in clarity, that we're actually moving forward
on Eskom improving their performance to serve the country and all the needs that still to come. Because if we want to grow the economy, we need electricity. And besides all the electrification of all other areas of government's program, which is part of the National Development Plan. So if we combine that with the new developments to come, then I just need more clarity on what it, what to unpack what that means. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning. And let's again welcome the presentation by the BPO. However, I feel it is rhetoric that we get these things every time and we at some point get out of what we should maybe engage on, because we are engaging on the same matter every time. However, I just want to align myself with my colleague to say we should be knowing now as to where the money should be coming from. And until we then know, I think we will then be in a position to can say, let's appropriate and how so. But the chairperson has earlier said, sometimes said, we shouldn't be seen as securities of money. And I think that is getting us there. And then the other thing is, I'm worried about this fact that there is a requisition for money to be appropriated for a year in advance. That says to me, Eskom is not doing anything in its power to get itself out of the situation. Because now they know that there will be appropriated more money. And believe you me, whether we want it or not, it is a prerogative that we must do that. And they have got nothing to now request appropriation for a year in advance. Even if we have not yet allocated the whole up, the 100% of the appropriated money to them, but they anticipate that they would need some. As we have been saying to person earlier and many a time, there should be conditions on how Eskom should be appropriated money, and they must meet those conditions. But by virtue of them coming here and asking for an early appropriation, that says there's no condition, there's nothing. It's just, everybody does that as it is because they know money would be appropriated anyway. And Chairperson, I think it is high time that we must end this thing of getting the report that there is an increasing debt that has part of whom are departments and municipalities. It cannot be correct. And we can no longer sit here and listen to such. I think it's high time that you call in the Minister of Cooperative Governance. And so that she may maybe assist in this regard, because she's an accounting officer in that regard. So I think having her here would assist in terms of us getting the clarities and how I'm going to be assisted. And as well, I want to echo the same sentiment as my colleague there to say, I think we should as well, when we call cooperative governance and Department of Finance, ESCOM and those, we should as well call the committees so that we get to know how are they doing things from their side. Because otherwise we would be doing things in parallel, of which we should at one point come together and talk about these things so that we can maybe map a way forward. But my serious point of concern is the conditions that are to be set up for ESCOM, so that they can be the money can be appropriated to them based on the conditions that they must meet, so that we know, and they must as well have a plan as to how they are going to go about. But when we just speaking these things here, there's nothing. And Chairperson, lastly, I think this matter of theft of electricity, it goes into the systems of Eskom. It goes into how they operate. And I think it is high time that they as well must take responsibility. And they must, in the president's budget speech, he said people should sign a service level agreement.
to say in terms of how they should be held accountable. I think that the reporting lines are vague. So every person is doing as he or she pleases in the ESCOM. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, and good morning to everybody. Let me join my colleague in thanking the CBO for the presentation. My question is on slide number 9, on the conditions for the transfer. I see here the Minister of Finance in writing has imposed conditions to be met by ESCOM after the transfer of any part of the amount. Now my question is, will ESCOM really, after they would have received the transfer, be able to adhere to the conditions of the minister? Why is the minister not imposing the conditions before the transfer of the money, so that ESCOM should agree and they even do it in writing? Because if you give me food and you say I must obey your rules after, my stomach would say no, fine. Even if you don't, you're fine. So that's one question that I was having. Another one is on the financial position. When you were presenting about the assets, other assets and current assets. So my question is, if ever ESCOM is having this difficulty, don't they have any assets that they can sell in order to maybe cover some of the debt that they are having? And on financial performance, where ESCOM, you're talking about the ESCOM electricity debtors. So, Chairperson, I'm a little bit worried. Everybody who was doing the presentation and talking about the debt that the municipalities are owing, I never had anybody praising one other municipality in the Mpopo province where I come from. Just to find an example, Polokwane and Capricorn District, they don't owe ESCOM, they don't owe water, but people are silent because it is a good thing. They don't talk about it. They are silent about it. Yeah. No. Even if I don't talk about it, but the presenters must just talk about it. They can even go on top of the mountain and preach this because it is a good. Yeah. And maybe to even take other provinces and districts to this municipality and go and copy how they practice their thing of not owing ESCOM and water. Anyhow, I got a permission from my mother at the back. I'll keep on talking about it if they keep quiet. I'm sure when ESCOM comes here, they will praise this municipality. The other thing is the employee benefits. I think the increase is too much, but 18%. If you have a baby who is disabled and this baby always been pushed on a bicycle, but he wants to buy high heels that are very expensive, that the baby is not going to use, why do we keep on allowing the baby to behave like a normal one? I think we have a disability in this.
That baby is also normal.
Well, but I think we have a problem. We need to really work out on this. Sometimes maybe they might even spend 5 years without an increase, so that they save whatever they don't have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry,
before you come in, through each other, I'm worried. You know, some of us, as the chairperson yesterday said, we are old. If you present on a graph with different colors and you give us this one, so it becomes a problem when I have to formulate my question, because everything is
black and white,
black and white, and they're talking the same thing. even if other colors are dark, but when you go to the numbers and the years, to me it's just the same. I try to even put it closer. I was thinking that my spectrum could assist me, but they also say maybe next time you need to improve even on the colors. Thanks.
Thank you. Let me also join colleagues in welcoming the presentation. You know, Chair, it has to be on record. The good work done by the management committee. You strategize such that will be, you know, presented. Okay. I will not comment on other issues. I'll try to pick up on the volume part. I was saying, Chair, thanks to the plan by the management committee. You know, this presentation, Chair, the way you structured that they brought to us are on a daily basis, sharpening our tools of analysis. So, you are not boring us by this presentation. Instead, we are getting ready for engagement by the day. Chair, I have, because of the same COVID, I've decided to pull all my papers with the same questions that I've been asking for all the subjects deliberately. Because, as I'm saying, at least we are getting sharper. Yesterday I had a question, trying to remember, to NFC around what I termed the healing period. This morning I'm waking up with something which I'm not sure whether an answer or not. Hence then I would need an advice from the learned official. The president in the morning says, for the first time I heard him talking about the final details of restructuring ESCOM. He's saying in the morning this would take a 3-year period. And he further outlined what we have been up to about the role of the CRO. And when listening, Chair, to the president speaking in the morning, it looks like the CRO in his terms of reference doesn't have anything to do with healing the current crisis that is there in ESCOM. He's coming in for his own program of restructuring, which means what we have been fearing, whose will the soul was to meet us back. And I was given a hint yesterday that if then that is the case, we do have a definite period check. The normal period when we have appropriated, which is a 2-year period, after which then we shall have to make an assessment. I want to check my correctness around this chapter. Let me move to the other one. Chair, we always talk of the ESCOM debtors. But whenever we are talking ESCOM debtors, we confine ourselves to municipalities.
Can we get current a database of ESCOM data so that we can see the performance of other data beyond the municipalities? Where is the private sector? What role is the private sector playing in all this? Chair, there is also this question which was asked, but I have put it the other way around. Can we also, because we've been asking this question, but without the definite answer, can you also assist us with what do you feel or see as non-core responsibility of ESCOM? So that as we begin to engage with ESCOM chair, we are able to, without asking from them, but tell them that one of our own conditions as the community is that you undo 1, 2, 3. Chair, on condition. Thanks, Honorable Clara. You were a bit spot on, and you could pick up on definite issues on the condition. But my question is generic. It's the same question I asked yesterday. That looking at the current proposed conditions, how different are the conditions from the conditions which were previously, you know, put by Treasury to ESCOM? And deliberately yesterday, I felt that we should not engage on whether such conditions had an impact or not. But with you guys, I want to assist us by telling us as to whether such conditions had an impact, so that we are able to win the old conditions put similarities or whatever is different at all, so that we can be able to gain the impact even before we take our decision. The last chair would be on the wage bill versus job security. Dear Chair, once more, unlike yesterday, where would you actually advise us to focus? On the upper echelon of ESCOM, or on the foot soldiers? That rise in 13%, is actually focused on the foot soldiers on the ground, or at the management level? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to take this opportunity to thank the PBO for the presentation, and also in particular for their deeper focus on the Department of Public Enterprises. Because, Chairperson, the Department of Public Enterprises need to equally take the responsibility for the bulk of the challenges that ESCOM has. Because it is the shareholder department, it is the department that has oversight over ESCOM. And we could focus on ESCOM as much as we can, but if the hand of a public enterprise is not strong enough, then we are always going to have these particular challenges. Chairperson, the indications here are that
on slide, what is the slide number? It's not numbered, but it's the one that speaks to the economic classification of the allocation to the department, that they've got under current the economic classification of current payments, they've got 63% of the budget in the cost center going to compensation of employees. And if you go even down, it shows that the under the goods and services, 35%, 11.5% of that goes to consultants, which means the issue of the capacity in public enterprises becomes key. Yes, you do say that level 1316 shows that there is capacity, but I'm worried because capacity is not just the work bodies and the numbers of people that are in position. It's the skill set and the competency and experience of the people that have got a particular oversight over the entity we're talking about. But also, what power or authority and mandate do they have over the entity? Or is it the type of people that would go there, see what is happening, go back and report, or wait to report to Parliament? Because it is important that you do have the in the Department of Public Enterprises the authority, the mandated authority to be able to make particular decisions. So that's 232 that we speak about in the 2021 financial year. I'm trying to imagine, is it people that would be having the necessary financial energy as well as other technical or engineering type of capability to go into the responsibility of oversight over ESCOM? We have been given horrific pictures about the situation of the power plants, where the power plants are either not functioning well or are malfunctioning, and in that way the capacity to produce power is diminishing because there's no proper maintenance. All those type of things will happen if I, who's supposed to have oversight, go and have oversight over something that I don't have a clue about. And that's how you then get shortchanged and you get undermined by the very charges that you are responsible to. My other question, Chairperson, is related to, like, my colleague, the Honourable Zembo Lenzana, indicated, the issue of the debtors. I'm going to raise this up until, you know, Chairperson, I don't know how many of you used to watch Bongeni Ngema's Sarafina. There was this boy called Crocodile. I said, I'll ring this bell till I become the principal. So I will raise this matter till I'm satisfied about the private sector debtors. Private sector debtors who are also equally ESCOM's service providers or suppliers. Because we can talk about municipalities. We know the challenges of municipalities. And the more we hit on that, the less we are going to get any possible response, because the response to the situation of municipalities on ESCOM also needs to come before this committee. Primarily because the challenges that they have are of a monetary nature. They will say for us to pay ESCOM, like for example Malutia Pofung that owes ESCOM more than 2 billion rand, would say we need that 2 billion rand and our ratepayers cannot pay the 2 billion rand. We can't increase the rates to the level at which we will be able to cover this 2 billion rand. So instead of it getting reduced, it's going to escalate.
But there are also other areas that ESCOM can actually also recover their debt, and it is in the private sector. And with the private sector, I believe it's even easier. They need to be blacklisted, those who are owing ESCOM and are not honoring their commitment. And I know they cannot afford to live without ESCOM. There are many private sector big companies that are actually sponging off on ESCOM to an extent where they would also at all times be making demands on ESCOM. And that's why they would be also the first ones to indicate the debt of municipalities. They will indicate the leakages that is New York. And I don't even think that the total power stolen or leakage would come to about 10%. So I think it is important that we also look at the private sector and their role. Because the private sector, if they can be named and shamed, so that they can then be able to understand that we mean business. They cannot be the first ones to stand on public and talk about lack of investment, and that investments will flow out if ESCOM is not corrected. And yet they know deep down in their hearts that they are equally responsible. But also the executives and directors of these companies must be shamed as, what do you call it, Jefferson, when a director is not doing his, playing his fiduciary responsibilities well. They are, well, you know the English word for that, but they are really cruel. So I think it is important that we look into those particular areas. Then the other issue of the use of the IPPO CGT, in particular the diesel component. You know the
delinquent director?
Delinquent. It's delinquent. I actually said truant, but it's delinquent. Yes, a chaplain. They must be classified as delinquent directors. And they must never serve even in. And in fact, some of them are serving in some of even the state-owned entity boards. And yet, on the other side, they are running down through their companies the main supplier of energy in South Africa. So I want to say, Chairperson, once more, Prof has given us that list of this thing, but equally like Matakali, I can't read what is written there because it's black and white and it's fine print, so it's a bit difficult that we can reach that particular issue. But Chairperson, I want to say the presentation from the PBO is also very helpful for us in preparation for our engagement with ESCOM and DPE in particular, because it is the two areas or agencies, the department and its agent, entity that we really need to be getting into. I really appreciate the breakdown of the bill in terms of the oversight pre and post, but we also believe as this committee, Chairperson, that the conditions that Treasury will attach to the allocation, if we then agree to it, would then have to also be something that gets checked by this committee, because we are confidentially given an indication that this is one of many bailouts that will be coming before this committee. So we need to be ready. And Honorable Mlenzana, I also heard what the President said this morning, and in a way answered the question that was asked yesterday about the role of the CRO. And probably maybe at another stage when we look at and working together with the DPE committee, looking at the process of transformation or the unbundling of ESCOM, we could go deeper in the discussions that have been raised. But I want to take this opportunity to thank the PBO for this information. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
My apologies once again for arriving late. I did communicate via WhatsApp. I was held up by the protest march against gender-based violence. Had it not been for the work of this committee, I would have joined the march as well, because we are in full support of the plight of our women and men that are abused by the other sex as well. Now, Chairperson, I'm not going to focus mainly on the bill, but the presentation is welcome, and I managed to catch the tail end of the presentation. I'm going to fly very high, like a banker. When you approach a banker for financing, before he starts looking at what you're going to do with the finance and how much you need, he scrutinizes you as an individual. Credit bureau, are you a legitimate client as you claim? Do you have the capacity to be able to repay the debt? So I'll focus at that level, Chair, so that when we speak of conditions, we know that this individual before us has the capacity to meet this particular condition. And Comrade Peter has covered that one aspect of the skill sets that are possessed by the entity. In most of the work that we do as the African National Congress to establish the merits of us granting this special appropriations bill, we were furnished with additional information, some of it as early as yesterday. Now, some of the challenges that are being cited that are within the entity and are the root causes of the problems that are here were around 16. And out of the 16, 9 were as a result of human error or the lack of capacity from the personnel that we have within the entity. And there are two that you can also attribute to human error, which is the declining of sales and high levels of debt. Because obviously with poor planning, there are costs involved and the costs result in having to go out in the market and borrow, and then which obviously has the increased effect on cost as well as the debt that we have. Now, my question is one, but I'll have two more questions. On the skill set, where we are sitting as PBO, do we have the confidence that the CRO, once coming in, with the current staff component that is there, that has presided over the decline of ESCO, will they be able to execute their role? And the additional question would be, is the approach of unbundling the entity away from restructuring the skill set helpful? Well, I think that we also need to look in terms of how do we recapacitate the skilled personnel that is there? How then do we say, after unbundling, will these people be able to operate in the new entity? Because we need to also find out if whether the human capital that we have will be able to survive after the unbundling. But the second worrying factor is the supply chain processes in ESCOM. That results in massive corruption, massive irregular expenditure. And Chair, I would wonder if whether has there been one executive who has held accountable for irregular expenditure that could have been avoided. And coupled to that is a concern that speaks to other entities that are involved in the operations of ESCOM. Because ESCOM is not operating in isolation. It is not an island. The AG is involved in looking at the work of ESCOM. There's also internal auditing firm or internal audit within ESCOM. So there's that key assurance model that is supposed to look at the functioning of ESCOM and signing off after the financial year to say, no, we're happy, everything is okay. I'm interested to know if there were any conditions of the vision from the previous audit outcome that were corrected by ESCOM. Because if there is no appetite there, how then do we expect ESCOM to comply with the new conditions that we might attach? that for me remains a concern. Because where I'm sitting, I had a picture yesterday after all these presentations that we had. I even saw the dates that were wrong on the presentation. What we are doing is like chess. You have a broken car, you fix it, after fixing it, giving it back to the same reckless driver and hope for the best. Because that is in essence what we are doing. Restructure, keep the same reckless supply chain and executive, let them continue and we hope for the best. I'm concerned about that particular aspect, Chair, because I think in most of the decisions, a simple cost-benefit analysis process, had it been implemented, some of these decisions would not have been taken and would not be where we are now. The last one, Chair, is on the issue of the request by ESCOM to transfer some of its debt onto the sovereign debt or to have it on the government balance sheet. Suppose that it is granted, what will be the impact on the fiscal and our debt exposure as a country? And I'm just thinking aloud, would it be legal that we sell this debt privately to the private sector? You say, if indeed you are committed to help us build ESCOM and build the country, we have this massive debt, we are too exposed, buy some of it, and then let's see how we can convert that particular debt into equity with the reforms that you're going to implement going forward. I'm not sure. I'm not an accountant or an economist. It's something that I'm asking, whether it's possible. Is it something that we can look at as a committee going forward, maybe that it can be explored going forward? But like other comrades are saying, the input from the president on the role of the restructuring office, it is welcome, but I still have the concern, Chair, that with the same capacity as alluded to by the DG from Treasury was here, because he says it is not only the restructuring officer who's going to resolve the issues. The structures are there. There are people there already that he will be working with. And I'm saying from the report that we are receiving, and I'm saying this with all respect due to the people that are employed in ESCOM, they are running the entity like a reckless driver. And would it be helpful for the restructuring officer to have the same structure when he comes in? Chair, for now I will pause there. I did not raise my hand earlier when I came in because I was late, so I was embarrassed that I raised my hand and I just got here. But thank you for noting me. Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you for the presentation.
Thank you, honourable members. I spent about 3 months now with the honourable members, so I've come to know even the body language, even before they start talking. But thank you so much. Advocate Jenkins, there was a question, which I think it's important, that the appropriations, that special appropriations that is in front of us, it's for two financial years. And the practice has been with the appropriations bill that is for the year in which we are. This one it goes to 2 years. So the question was that that has not happened. Is it legal? The legality of it. I don't know whether you. Then I would like you to come first on that one. Do you want to come in now?
No.
Okay. Let me hear.
The short answer is I don't see any legal or procedural problem with it. The only requirement that's in the Public Finance Management Act, and it's also sort of said in the Money Bills and Related Matters Act, is that there must be an annual appropriation and an annual division of revenue that's introduced by the Minister. But a special appropriation can deal with medium-term expenditure. There's nothing illegal about it. What must be done is we can't, as a country, spend money out of the National Revenue Fund without the authority in legislation. But that legislation can span 2 years. So it's okay.
Thank you for that. If you still want to further research on it and give us a document, that would be definitely welcome. And obviously thank Team PBO for the presentation. And as the honourable members are saying, that every time we meet FFC and other people who come, we get wiser. So we'll keep on coming back to some of these things, because we might have met last time and then some blind spots, and when we interact again, we're able to deal with those things. So I think that's the spirit in which we are receiving the reports. From my side, one of the biggest contributors in the unsustainability of ESCOM is the high escalation of building costs. For instance, we had it from a budget of around about 25 billion rand. Some of the power stations are now at about 140 billion rand and so on. So that's not escalation. I think we need to find another name for that. It's definitely not escalation. It looks like it's some new power stations which are being built. I don't know whether you understand if we've ever zoomed into that, why, what exactly happened there. Let's get scientific reason. Let's just not be giving. I'm not saying from you guys, I'm saying let's try to get into the real reasons. What happened? Because those power stations were not built by ESCOM employees. They were built by private companies. Right, and are forever these escalations. It may be talking into contract management, among other things, but let's get a proper presentation. You can't have that. What has happened to these escalations? For lack of a better word, that's what I call. But from my lexicon, it can't be. You can't have something moving from 25 to 140 billion and it's still going up. We're told exactly. Do we understand what's happening there? That's one. I think again, our members have alluded to this one. We've been focusing our governance on the board, the CEO, the CRO. But I think what also comes up now, especially when you look at the oversight function and the shareholder, the department, which is a shareholder representative, and other departments, that there's definitely an issue there. National Treasury has got a role, public enterprise has got a role, minerals and energy has a role. And for instance, that manifests itself with the conditions that are being given by different role players. That is what I want to understand, or which you must try to look into, and I would like to hear a comment. What role does it play in the unsustainability of the company? I think, let's say, again, it's very clear that we haven't been given a credible strategy of dealing with debt collection. But one thing that we've heard forever, it's the municipality's debt. But are those debts still collectible? Are they bad debts? I think because if they are bad debts as they are, it means the ESCOM's balance sheet is weaker than what we have been given. I think we need to look into that. ESCOM should tell us, is it a collectible debt? Because other members, if it's not collectible, it becomes a bad debt, which means that your balance sheet is weaker than what is being presented. Right? So I think it's an area that we need to look into. I have my own view on it, but let it be scientific and not be my own view. Well, again, in saying that we welcome this presentation, don't think it's a Herculean statement when I say the Eskom saga is the biggest thing happening in the South African economy, both public and private. So when we continue engaging on this on Eskom issue, it's because we must do it. We can't have any other approach, an ostrich approach, where we stick our heads in the sand. When we come, the problem will be there, not just there, but it will even be bigger. So our continuous engagement with it is something that we should do. So I'm trying to underline what the honourable members were saying, that every presentation which is being brought to us is a welcome presentation, because it raises issues that we might not have seen initially. So I think those would be my comments. But yesterday when we had the presentation from FFC, the chairperson was giving a crash course about the concentration spread of human beings, that they do need, and the biology of human beings, physiology, that we must have a 10-minute break now, so before you start engaging with the questions and the comments that have been made. Can we then take a chair for about 10 minutes and come back thereafter?